Today's shir is Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis at the second Mishnah. So we continue discussing the accessibility of the Eruv. Because as we learned in the last couple of Daf, in order for the Eruv to be effective, it has to be accessible. Says the Mishnah, Nosna B'Migdol, if you put the Eruv into a closet, for Ovar HaMafteach, and then the key is lost, still harais the Eruv. So the Tana Kama will hold that it's still an Eruv. Like Rashi explains, the issue in our Mishnah is not an issue of transferring the Eruv from Rosh Hashayachah to Rosh Hashirabim, something we've been discussing. Here, I want to be kind of Shvis in Rosh Hashayachah, and the closet is in Rosh Hashayachah, so there's no problem of transferring, or as the Rabbeinu Yonason learns, I want to be kind of Shvisa within Dalet Amos of the Eruv, which we learned Rav said on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that as long as that I want to be kind of Shvisa within Dalet Amos of the Eruv, there's never concern. Here the problem is that the key is lost. So Tana Kama says the Eruv is still a good Eruv, which we'll discuss at length. Rav Elezer holds him any day shemafteich mekoyma in a Eruv. If he doesn't know that the Eruv is in its place, that the key is in its place, it's not an Eruv. So the way the Rashba explains Rav Elezer is like this. You could lose a key, or you could forget where the key was put. He says, the case of our Mishnah is that the key is lost. If it's only that he forgot where he put the key, and when he will remind himself where the key is, he'll have access to it, then that's not the discussion here. Discussion here is it's lost. The Tana Kama holds that although it's lost, the Erev is still a good Erev, and Rav Elezer disagrees. Ask the Gemara, if the key is lost, why does the Tana Kama hold that the Erev is a good Erev? V'amai, hu b'makim echad, v'eruv b'makim acher. He and the Erev aren't in the same place, he can't have access to the Erev. Answers the Gemara, Rav and Shmuel d'Ami Tavayu, Rav and Shmuel both explain our Mishnah, Hocho b'migdol shelavonim askinim. We're not talking about a closet made out of wood. We're talking about a closet made out of bricks. Ramehi, and it goes according to what Ramehi teaches us in Masech the Beya. The Omer, he says that if you have fruit in a closet or in a sealed room, the loch is poiches l'chatchil v'noitel. You could just open it up, break open the closet, break open the room, and take out the fruit. The Tanan, as the Mishnah says, if you have a house full of fruit, sosum, and it's a sealed house, the nifchas, so the Tana Kama holds that if it breaks open by itself, you can take the fruit out. Now, here, the Tana Kama is not allowing us, as we're going to see, to break the closet open. The closet opened by itself. So Rashi says, although there was no issue about opening the closet, because it opened by itself, but why don't I have a concern that it's muksa? These fruits were inaccessible to you before Shabbos, and now they're accessible to you. So isn't that muksa? So Rashi explains that the Gemara is going, that Mishnah is going according to Rav Shimon, who, when we learned Masechta Shabbos, encountered Rav Shimon many times. The Lesley muksa, Rav Shimon will hold it since it's yontif and it's peiros, it's fruit. They don't become muksa because you can't, just because they're in a room that you can't access. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learn that since the only Isser in getting to this fruit is an Isser Derabbanan, breaking this kind of a closet, as we will see, only involves an Isser Derabbanan. So something that the inability to access it is only an Isser Derabbanan will not make that item muksa. Other Rishonim say Pshat is that we're dealing with a room or a closet, whatever we're going to talk about, that the walls around it were anyway very weak. So I, before Shabbos, expected that this will break and that the fruits will become available to me. And therefore, it never becomes muksa. It only becomes muksa when I max the das, I take it out of my mind. Here, on the contrary, I was expecting to be able to get my hands on it. Rameya goes a step further. You could open it up. So that's Shat in our Mishnah. Just like Rameya said there that you could open it up, here too will hold that you could open up. Ask the Gemara, V'om Rav Nachman bar Ado Om Shmuel Bavira Delivni, that even Rameya, who says that you could open up the closet, is only talking when it's not put together with cement and bricks. It's just bricks. one put on top of each other. So breaking that, Rameya says, is not called breaking. But to go and break something that's put together with bricks and cement would be usur. Answers the Gemara, Hachanami Bavir Da Livni. We're talking here that it's, our Mishnah is also talking about a closet that's made out of bricks that are piled up one on each other without any cement. And according to Rameya, that is mutter to be opened on Shabbos. Now Tosfos, very important Tosfos for Hilchos Shabbos, asked the following question. Before the Gemara answered that our Mishnah is going according to Rameya, and that our Mishnah is going to be discussing a closet made out of Avira the Livni, bricks piled up one on top of the other without cement, we suspected that our Mishnah is talking about a regular wood closet. And that's why the Gemara said, how could it be a regular wood closet? You're not allowed to break open a wood closet on Shabbos. That's what the Gemara had to say to Teretz. Ask Tosfos, why is there a problem of breaking open a wood closet on Shabbos? We learned the Masechta Shabbos, Ein Binyan Mestira B'Kelim. So even if it's a regular wood closet, what's the problem? So Tosfos says, two terutzim that are negei la'alokha l'maisa. One Tosfos says that even if you hold Ein Binyan Mestira B'Kelim, Tosfos says that is only when it's a small keli. But when you're dealing with a large keli, and the way we show them say the size of a large keli is a keli that could hold a boim saw, 40 saw, then even if it's a keli, there's not going to be an exemption of Ein Binyan Mestira B'Kelim. That's one Teretz Tosfos gives. Another Teretz Tosfos gives is when we say Ein Binyan Mestira B'Kelim, it's talking about a keli that's put together quite flimsily. So breaking it, you really didn't do much because it was flimsy in the first place. But when you have a utensil that was put together well, and now you go and you break it, nobody's going to tell you Ein Binyan Mestira B'Kelim, it'll be usur. It's very negayel aloch l'maisa on Shabbos. If you have something that's put well together, it'll be usur. And that's the way the Ramah paskins. The only thing is the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rashba that if you do it b'derech kilkul al yidei akum, it may be mutter. So what did the Gemara say? We're talking about avira de livni, that you have a bunch of bricks put together one on top of the other without any cement, and that's why it's not called stira according to Rameya. Now we know that stira and binyan always travel together. If when breaking something it's not called stira, then when building it it's not called binyan. So the Baruch Tam and the Shaila Meshiv use this concept la'alocha l'maisam. They ask, what's going to be the halacha if chas v'shalom on sukkahs, on the yontif, on Shabbos, your sukkah collapses, your schach falls in, there was a tornado, a hurricane, and your sukkah, the schach fell in, can you ask a guy to line the schach back up on top of the sukkah? So they want to say that it'll be mutter. Why? Because when you put schach, you just line up the schach, you don't put any cement or anything to between the pieces of schach. And our Mishnah just said that, our Gemara just said that if it's avir the livni, if it's just things piled up one another, that's not called stira, it's not called binyan. And they say it would be muta, certainly they akum. Ask the Gemara, v'am rav zera b'yontif, amru. So ask the Gemara that when Rameya was mekel, he was only mekel in yontif. That's where he said you could open up this closet made up of avir the livni. Our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos. Avaloi b'Shabbos, Hachanami, answers the Gemara, b'yontif. We're going to have to say that our Mishnah that allows you to penetrate the closet to get out, to get to the food, is talking on yontif. On Shabbos will be awesome. Ask Tosfos, why do we have to say it's talking about yontif? We could say it's talking about Shabbos. Because what's the isser to break the closet? Beautiful Tosfos. The isser to break the closet is the isser d'rabbanan. We finished explaining that we learned this many times in the last couple of days, that if the only impediment to get to the Eir Bein HaShemoshes is the Issa D'Rabbanan, according to Rebbe, that Eir would be effective. So if the only problem here is breaking this closet, which is clearly only an Issa D'Rabbanan, so it should be considered an accessible Eiruv. So Tosfos says two terutzim. The first terutz Tosfos says is that if you recall, the Gemara right after the Mishnah we learned on top of the Amid said that the previous Mishnah is not going to be like Rebbe, it's going to be like Rabbanan. That means the Mishnah before this one is going to be like Rebbe, this Mishnah is going to be like Rabbanan. So Tosfos says we don't want to jump back and forth. The first Mishnah is Rebbe, the next Mishnah is Rabbanan, the next Mishnah is Rebbe. That's one Teretz Tosfos gives. The other Teretz Tosfos gives, if that's going to be Pshat in our Mishnah, that we're talking that it's on Shabbos, and the Machlokes is, are you allowed to, if getting access to an Erev involves being over the Rabbanan, is that considered accessible or not? Which is the machloikas of Rebbe and Rabbanon. So actually, that's all Rebbe Lezer and the Tanakam of our Mishnah arguing. So they're not teaching us anything new. So Tosfos, our Mishnah seemingly is teaching us something new. If it's just the old machloikas of Rebbe and Rabbanon, what do I need this Mishnah for? That's why the Gemara has to look for a different approach. Ihochi asked the Gemara, if we now were saying that our Mishnah is Yontif, Hanis Tani Allah, we learned in a Braisa, following up on our Mishnah. Says Rebbe Lezer, I mean, in the ear of it, if the key got lost in the city, then the aloch is a ruve eriv, then the eriv is an effective eriv. Because we learned the shita of Reb Shimon. The Reb Shimon holds gagois, chatzeris, and karfifais, all outside areas you could carry from one to the other. That's what Rebbe Lezer says, that if the eriv is in such an area and the key is in such an area, the key could be brought to the eriv and you're fine. However, in Besada, and as the Karvan Asanel explains Besada, it means in a place that you can't carry from where the key is to where the Erev is, then Eruv Erev. Now the question is, if we're saying that the situation we're discussing in our Mishnah is Yontif, and Yontif there's no issue to carry. Mali Yir, Mali Sada. You're always allowed to carry. Says the Gemara, Chsuri Mechsir Achtani. This is what you have to learn. Nasa B'migdal. If you put the Erev into a closet, v'nol b'fonav, and you close it up, v'avra mateach, and then the key gets lost, da'aloch is harezer Erev. And the Erev is considered a legitimate Erev. V'med v'ar mamurim, when is this said, b'yontiv? And yontiv, because you could get access to the Erev, and you could break the Erev. Av b'shabbos, ein Erev Erev. On Shabbos, the Erev would not be a legitimate Erev, because you have no right to break the closet. Nimtza Mifteach, if the key was found, Bein Be'ir, Bein Besada, Ein Eruv Erev. So the Tanakama holds that the Erev is never an Erev. Why? Because this Tanakama does not agree with Reb Shimon. We just quoted Reb Shimon a moment ago that says, Gagos, Chatzeris, Charfifois, you're allowed to carry one to the other. This Tanakama says that he doesn't agree with Reb Shimon. He holds like the Chachamim who disagree with Reb Shimon, and therefore, even if you find the key, there's no way of getting the key to the Erev. Rebbe Lezer says like this: Be'ir, if you find the Erev in the city, Eruve Erev, Besada ain't Eruve Erev. And the Gemara explains Rebbe Lezer's Shita. Be'ir, if you find the Erev in the city, Eruv Erev Reb Shimon, because he does hold like Reb Shimon that you could carry from the Gagois, Chatzeris, Kafefais to each other. As long as they weren't in a house at the beginning of the Shabbos, as long as they were in one of these outdoor areas as Shabbos began, you're allowed to carry from one to the next. The Sada, and the Sada holds Ein Eruv Erev Krabon. The truth is, the Bach takes out this line, but the way the Mefarshim will keep this line, explain this line like this. We're going to learn an interesting shita for Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says like this, that let's say somebody's walking in the street on Shabbos, and he finds tefillin. He finds a pair of tefillin, and he doesn't want to leave them in the street. Bezayin. So the halach is, he could carry it less than Dalar Amos, hand it over to a friend, who will carry it less than Dalar Amos, and so on till you get it home. Says the Gemara, he's going to hold like Rabbanan that don't agree with that Mahalach. Or other Mefarshim explain that even if you hold like that, he'll only limit it to Tefillin, because it's Bezoyin Kisvei Kodesh, and nowhere else, if you find it in a place that you can't carry from, is the Erev going to be acceptable as an Erev. That's the first way of explaining our Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef Damri Tavayu. Rabbi Rav Yosef explained our Mishnah. Hocha b'migdal shel eitzes kinen. We're talking about a wood closet. The mas sover kelihu. The one man the Omer holds, the Tanakama holds, that a wood closet has the status of a keli. And as we spoke earlier, ein binyan b'keli ve'ein stir b'keli. So breaking the closet to get to the Erev is mutter. Certainly not more than the Rabbanon. Umas sover oilhu. And the other man, the Amma, holds that it's considered an oil, it's considered a structure, and therefore, certainly, you're not allowed to break it open. You're not allowed to, that would call steer, that's called demolishing. It's a malacha. Says the Gemara, Uplukta Dahani Tanoi. So the Gemara wants to say, where do we see this concept? Is a cladet considered like a structure, like an oil? Or is a cladet considered like a keli? So the Gemara says, we find the same machlokes in Masechta Zovin. The Tanan. The Mishnah says in Masechta Zovin, Hikish agabi sheda taiva migdal. So where all the Rishonim, they all begin the same place. Then there's a divergence of Shitas. But they all begin this way. That one of the tumas that's unique to a Zov is tumas hesed. What does tumas hesed mean? Tumas hesed means that the Zov didn't actually touch the item. If the Zov touches an object, it's certainly tumas. It's tumas maga. If a Zov makes that something should move, he causes it to move, that object becomes Tamei, it's a Tumas Hesed. So says the Mishnah, if a Zov caused Sheda Teva Migdal to move, these are large closets, and all the Rishayim explain, they can hold 40 saw or more, they're still Tamei, they're still susceptible to Tumas Hesed. If Nechemi Rishimin, Betarim, they say they're not susceptible. Says the Gemara, what the machlokes? My lab, a hakimifki. Masover, the first Tana holds, kelihu. It's considered a keli. Or masover, oilhu. And the other man, Dama, holds it's an oil, and an oil is not susceptible to tumma. Om Rabaya, so Abaya says the Tisbara, does that make sense? That's the way to explain the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rav Nechemya? Vatanya, if we look into the Braisa that explains that, he says, oil v'nisit, if you have a thing which is an oil, but it's moved, tummy, it will be tummy, tummy's hesed. And the other end, if it's only a keli, v'eini nisit, but it's not moved, it's tohor. So, you see that the machloikis cannot be, and the Gemara will prove it even stronger in a moment, the machlokes cannot evolve around if something's a keli or an oil, because that's irrelevant. If it's moved, there's tumas hesed, and if it's not moved, there is no tumas hesed. So the must and the Gemara will prove it. But I want to make a point, not my point. That Mr. Rishonim pointed out, but the one that really says it nicely is the Sfas-Emes. The Sfas-Emes asks, the one of the first things we all know is that something that's a house, something that's a structure, is not makabel tumah. So ask the Sfas Emes, and he's really explaining what the Rishonim say. How could the Gemara say that you moved the oil? You moved it. It's makabel tumah. We know that a bias is not makabel tumah. So what's the difference if you moved it or not? So that's why the Sfas Emes says the most Rishonim explain that the discussion in the Gemara is not about the actual structure. If you have a structure that could hold mem saw, it has the status of a bias. And a bias is not makabel tumah. Rashi doesn't learn this way, but most Rishonim learn this way. The discussion in the Gemara is, if there's going to be something in this closet, will it be considered moved by a zav that it has tumah hesed or not? On the closet itself, there was never discussion. Rashi seems to disagree. Rashi seems to say that the issue is the thing itself. The question is, we did always learn that something that's a bias is not mekabel tumah. Rashi's l'chayru going to have to hold that if it's not mechubal karka, it doesn't have a din of a bias. So, continues the Gemara. V'ktani seifa. The seifa says there, v'mhayu nesutim, if they're moved, t'meim. Zeklal. And the Braisa summarizes. Nisit machmas koichai, if you caused this item, this object to move, dissolve, Tomei, machmas rada, but if it was only a vibration, then the halacha is that it's tohor. So you see that has nothing to do with oil and bias, because if it's moved, it's going to be tomei no matter what it is, and if it does move, it's not going to be tomei. So what is the machloikis between the Tanakhama and the Chemin of Shimon? El Omar Abayi, the Kulam Ahesem Machmas Koyche Tomei. Everybody's going to agree that if it moves because of you, it's going to be a Tumas Hesed. machmas rod, if it's only a vibration, that loch, everybody's going to agree it's tar. For hocha, the machlaikas here is brada machmas koichai. The machlaikas over here is going to be that you caused the vibration, and the vibration caused the item to move. So it wasn't your direct cause that moved it. It wasn't that you pushed it. You stamped your feet, or whatever else you did, to cause a vibration, and the vibration was so significant that it moved, and according to the way the Sfasem learns, it's beautiful. The vibration was so significant that it caused the kalim inside this object to move. Masover, a balkabithi, and this is going to be machlokes. The masover, have a hesed. At the end of the day, the kalim in the object moved, and if they moved, there's a Thomas hesed. Or masover, there was only after the ra'ada caused it to move, that's not called hesed. So come to Chais, where we're up to now. The machlokes that we wanted to attribute to our Mishnah, that the machlokes is such a kasid considered an oil, or is it such a considered a keli? We saw from the Mishnah over there is not accurate. Although the Rishonim point out that the Gemara could have easily said that there's no raya from Hilchas Tumah to Hilchas Shabbos, and maybe for Hilchas Tumah it's considered a keli, but for Hilchas Shabbos it'll be considered an oil, or vice versa. But since we don't have a definitive proof, the Gemara goes with a different approach to the Mishnah. Abai v'Rav d'Amr Tavayu b'minel v'kata b'misnaskin. Our Mishnah is discussing a situation where it was locked with, it was, you have this closet closed with a rope, or boy sakina l'mifsika, and you can't untie it, it's knotted together, you need a knife to cut it open. Tanakam sovel k'Rav Yosi. The Tanakam holds like Rav Yosi, the Amma kol ha'kelem nitlam b'shabbos chutz mi'mesa ha'godol v'yester shel machrisha, that all kalim are not mukhs on Shabbos, only these specific saws, which we explained in Masechta Shabbos, are mukhs on machmas saron kis. Rabbi Elazar sovel k'Rav Nechemya, Rabbi Elazar also k'Rav Nechemya, dom afil a talis, afil a tarvid, even a talis, or even a spoon, any talim el tzarka shmishim, you could only move him for a specific designated purpose. A knife wasn't made to cut open rope, so you're not allowed to pick up the knife to take it. So let's first, there are two ways of learning this Gemara. I'm going to do something that we normally don't do. I'm first going to explain the Gemara like Tosfos. Tosfos says that everybody agrees with Rabbanan, that if getting to the Erev involves being over an Issa de Rabbanan, then that's called inaccessible. So that's why Rabbi Elazar holds you have to be over an Issa de Rabbanan to get to the Erev, because you have to take the knife, which is Muksa, to get to the Erev. Tanakama, on the other hand, doesn't hold the knife as muksa, and he'll also hold that something around the closet, that a rope around the closet, is completely mutter to cut open, so there's no issur involved, and that's why the Erev is a good Erev. That's how Tosfos explains. Rashi explains that we're going to go like Rebbe, which we spoke about earlier. Cutting open the rope is an issur d'rabbanan, but according to Rebbe, you're allowed to be oiver and issur d'rabbanan. That's the only thing impeding you from getting to Erev. Ask Tosfos, so then I don't understand the Gemara. Then Rabbi Elazar says that what's the problem to get to the Erev? Because Rabbi Nechemya says that you're not allowed to take a keli only for its designated purpose. That's also only a d'rabbanan. So what's the machlokes? That's why Tosfos says the pshat he said. So how do we answer Rashi? So all the mefarshim explain a beautiful pshat in Rashi. Really, Rabbi Kiva Eger says this. According to Rashi, he's going to have to say like this. According to the Tanakhama, how many surim do you have to be over to get to this, to open up the rope? One isur, cutting the rope. According to Rabbi Elazar, you have to do two isurim. You have to cut the rope and use the knife for something that it's not designated for. When did Rebbe permit that the Erev is considered accessible if you only have to be over one isur? If you have to be over two isurim, it's going to be considered inaccessible. But there's a very big problem with this, because we learned the other day, what was the case that we used Rebbe? That you had the Erev on the tree, and you had to be over two Isurim to get the Erev to you. One Isur was being Mishtamish B'ilon, and the other Isur was taking it from a Carmelis to Rosh HaSayachid. So how could you say that whenever two Isurim are involved, even Rebbe will agree that the Erev is considered inaccessible? The Mishnah that taught us Rebbe's din is a case of two Isurim. So the Evan Eizer says a beautiful teretz. He says, in our Gemara, the two Isurim, you're over at the exact same time. You take the knife, and you cut with it. So you're holding the knife as an Isur, because it's Muksa, according to Rav Nechemiah, and you're cutting, which is an Isur. Over there, the two Isurim are Bezach Hazer. First, you take it off the tree, that's the Isur Mishtamish Be'ilah. Then you carry it from the tree to the Rishus Sayachid. That's a separate Isur, or vice versa. That's a separate Isur. So it, since each Isur comes separately, then Rebbe will agree that since it's only the Rabbanon, then it's Mutam. Before we finish the sugya, I just want to mention a few shailos l'aloch l'maisa. The truth is, the Beis Yitzchak asks a gevaldige kasha. He says, according to Rebbe, that if the only impediment to getting the Erev is an Issa the Rabbanon, there should never be a problem. Because you could always ask a guy to carry the Erev for you. An Amir al-Akim Ashfus. So Beis Yitzchak answers, gevaldige teretz, Beis Yitzchak says that the only time Rebbe was Makel is if it's an Issa the Rabbanon that you can do. And this is Rabbanan, you have to rely on somebody else doing. That's not what the Gemara said. That's the Beis Yitzchak's teretz. Then there's another point that I saw. It's the same called Tikkun Ervin. A very nice point. He says, let's say, Halach Lamaisa. He says, let's say somebody wants to leave a can of food for his Erev Tchumim. I'm not going into the Shiloh now. But if it's a type of a food, a type of a can that you're not allowed to open on Shabbos, then that Erev would be Asur. Because we're learning now in the Gemara that the Erev has to, the food has to be accessible to you, Benish Moshes. If opening up this can is Asur, then you're not allowed to use that Erev. One more thing which is very Aloch Lamaisa. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that this Gemara, that this whole sugi that we've been learning, that the Erev has to be accessible to you, Benish Moshes, that we've been learning about Erev Tchumim, the same Aloch applies to Erev Chatzeres. Let's say you have a number of people living in an apartment house, and they want to be able to carry in the common areas, and they make an Erev Chatzeres, and they leave the Erev Chatzeres in one of the apartments, and then the people who live in that apartment go away for Shabbos. They should leave a key. If they don't leave a key, you have a real Shaila. The Shar Mitzvah Baloch has a long arichas on the Shaila, and he says leaving two Erevs is certainly not a good Eitzah, because they would probably cancel each other out. So you can't use that Eitzah. And if he says the only Eitzah he could come up with is that if you live in a place where you're living is not really a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, it's only a Karmelis, and the people left their home but they're they're accessible and it only involves going through a Karmelis to get them, so it's only a Shvus, and we pass him like Rebbe that if you only need to be over a Shvus to get to the Erev is considered accessible, then maybe it'll be okay. But what happens if they travel away? They go on vacation and they travel far away, and the only way to get to them is by being over the Raisa. You can't carry in that apartment house. Somebody has a key, then what you're supposed to do is leave the key. If you leave the key by one of the neighbors who are home, it's no problem. Or if you take that Erev and you know you're not going to be home for Shabbos, and you leave it by one of the neighbors who are going to be home for Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Nisgagel chutz l'tchum, if the Erev rolled outside the tchum, or nafal gal, a heap of rubble fell on top of the Erev, or nisraf, or the Erev got burnt, truma v'nitmas, or you made the Erev out of truma and it became tamei. And as we learned many times, truma that becomes tamei, no one may eat. So it's useless. It's useless. Mibay joim, if this happened from Erev Shabbos, ain't Erev, you have no Erev. You put that in Erev and it became useless. Mishech Sheikha, that means if Bein Ashmashes, the Erev was good, and only after Shabbos began, the Erev became disqualified, Harei's Erev, then the Erev is a good Erev. Im Sofik, what happens if there's a Sofik? When exactly this happened? Remei Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harei Zeh Chama Gomel. They call this a Chama Gomel. What's a Chama Gomel? A Chama Gomel means another way of saying a Sofik. Because a Chamor, a donkey, is led from the back. And a camel is led from the front. So if somebody's leading a donkey and a camel at the same time, he's stuck right between the two animals. Here, we said many times, we have to say this, there's nothing free in life. If somebody makes an Erev to the east side, he loses to the west side. So what happens over here? Somebody put down this Erev to the east side. And now we don't know when the Erev got disqualified. So if the Erev is good, he can walk 4,000 amos to the east side. nothing to the west side. If the Erev is not good, he could walk 2,000 amos to each direction. But because we don't know, he can't walk more than 2,000 amos to the east side, and won't be able to walk anything to the west side, and not more than 2,000 amos to the east side. They are reshowing him, which are hard to understand. They want to say he won't be able to walk anywhere. It's hard to understand them. In fact, they are reshowing him that go a step further. They say, interesting, that going back to the first case, what's going to be in our halacha with Erev we know got disqualified Erev Shabbos? It got disqualified before Banish Mashas. So the way you learn the Mishnah Pashat, so you have no Erev, so you're like anybody else. You go back to everybody else in the city. There are Rishonim that want to say you're worse off. Because once you put the Erev, you were Messiah Das, you so to speak, said, I'm not going to walk to the west side no matter what. So even though your Erev became disqualified before Shabbos, and ostensibly you ought to be like everybody else in the city, you pulled yourself out of that situation, and then you'll be stuck. Most Mepharshim don't learn that way. When the Erev got disqualified. Rabbi Yosef Shimon, I'm a Safek Erev Kosher. The Safek Erev is Kosher. But as the Gemara is going to explain, a Safek Erev doesn't mean that you have a Safek if you put down the Erev. If you have a Safek if you put down the Erev, even Rabbi Yosef will agree it's not a good Erev. The Safek here is that you put down a good Erev, but it's a question when it got disqualified. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Af Thomas Hay Bishum Chamesh is a Kainim, a Safek Erev Shekosher. Begins the Gemara. Nisgavu Chutzot Chum. So we learned in the Mishnah that the Erev rolls out of the Tchum, then the Erev becomes disqualified. So Tysus asks a great question. Tysus asks, we just finished explaining that according to Rebbe, if the only impediment of getting the Erev is an Issa de Rabbanon, then that doesn't disqualify the Erev. So let's say the Erev Taka rolled out Banish Moshes outside the Tchum. Getting the Erev, going outside the Tchum is only Issa de Rabbanon. So why is it Apostle Erev? Why is it considered inaccessible? So Ritvas has a great teretz. The Ritvas teretz is, when do we say that an Issa de Rabbanon is not an impediment? If the Issa de Rabbanon is not an Issa de Rabbanon, then the fact that it has to do with Chumim. It's Issa de Rabbanon about carrying. It's Issa de Rabbanon about breaking closets. But if Issa de Rabbanon about Erev itself, that you can't say won't be an impediment. That's the Ritvas teretz. Taisus says like this, very good. You want to walk out to get your Erev. And you're allowed to walk out because it's only Banish Moshes. But once you go get your Erev, you'll be stuck. Because your banish mashes cast your tchum. So even if it's only an Issa de Rabbanon, it won't work. But says Rava, we learned that Rava's did many times, only if it rolled past Dalar Amis. Avul toich Dalar Amis, if it's within Dalar Amis of your tchum, a person has Dalar Amis from where he puts down the tchum. And the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, you know how far that halacha works? That you don't have to, a person always will put down his Erev right by the boundary. The halacha is you could put it past the boundary. You could put it up past the 4 amos. So it's not that you could put down the Erev and then walk 4 amos. You could even have the Erev in this 4 amos area.
And rolled out beyond that?
No, very pushing it. Nafal of Gal. So we learned that if a rubble fell on it, that the Mishnah is talking about that the rubble fell on it, but it's still accessible. Lamas Nisim like Rebbe. Let us say that the Mishnah doesn't go with Rebbe. Dik Rebbe, ha'ama kol davar shum mishum shvus le'gazel abenish moshes, and clearing away rubble is only a drabonon. So why is the Erev considered inaccessible? Answer the Gemara, filotem k'Rebbe. You can explain it's going k'Rebbe. Lo'y tzricha, because to get to this rubble, the bari mar b'chatzina, you need a shovel. And using a shovel is a deraisa, because it's shoveling. Ask the Mepharshim, even if you'll say shoveling is a deraisa, here's a melacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. You just need the Erev. You don't need. So why is it considered a deraisa? So I saw two teretz. One teretz is that's talking that it's your property. And your property, it is a melacha tzricha l'gufa because you want the property plowed. Another teretz is that when do we say that a shvus is not an impediment? It's a shvus that's always a shvus. For example, carrying from a camel to Rishus HaYochid can never be a Issa Deraisa. But plowing can be a Deraisa. So that's not called a Shvus that they were in Goyes of Benish Moshes. Continues tomorrow. But Shvich, we need all the cases. Din Natan in this Galgal, if I only count the case in this Galgal, Mishum de Lesa Gabay, the Erev is no longer accessible to you. Avon Nofel of Gal, where the pile fell on it, Disa Gabay, Emel Havi Erev, I would consider a good Erev. That's what the Mishnah teaches this case. Vitan enough of Gal, Mishun the Mixi. The Erev is completely covered up. The wind may blow it right back into the tchum, and therefore I would think lahavi erev. That's why tzrich we need the both cases. Ein nisraf, or if the erev got burnt, or if it's tchum minute mass. Says the Gemara, lamitan in nisraf. Why did the Mishnah have to teach all these cases? So the Gemara says the reason I taught the case of nisraf that the erev got burnt, lo diachet koychid Rabbi Yosi, that even though the erev is no longer in the world, it's still what do you call it? It's still mutter. Truma mit mass, and the reason we taught the halacha of truma mit mass, l'diachet koychet Rameya, to teach us how far Rameya is machmer. That even though the Erev is still in the world, and I would say I should rely on the chazaka, and the chazaka is that it was good, we don't say, tells us Rameya, and that's what we're going to spend a lot of time the next shiurim on, that we don't rely on the chazaka l'kula. So Shari Yoshur asks, why not? Everyone knows, ever looked in the Sefer Shari Yoshur, knows that the whole Sefer, these Gemaras that we're going to learn the next days, talk about Chazaka constantly. So he says, we know that Chazaka is a legitimate method of dealing with a Shaila in Halacha. So here we have a Shaila when the Truma became Tamei. And if we have a Shaila when the Truma became Tamei, so we should say the Chazaka is that it got Tamei in the last possible moment, and the Erev should be a good Erev. What? Like by Shita. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, Mr. Shem. So Shari Yoshe says a gevaldige teretz. Shari Yoshe says, and this is a yisoid in Chazaka. He says, what is the power of Chazaka? What is the power of a Chazaka? He says, the power of a Chazaka is not that a Chazaka tells us for sure that this is what happened. How could the Chazaka say that the Truma got Tama in the last minute? Chazaka tells us what you should do. When you have a Shaila, what do I do? Says Rav Shimon Shkop, this Truma that's Tameh is certainly Tameh. The Chazaka can't make it not Tameh, because we know it's Tameh. So if I want to use this Erev right now, I certainly can't use it. The only time a Chazaka can pass in a Shaila is where I can continue using it right now. But where I can't continue using it right now, because it's anyway Tameh, it's burnt, so it's no longer here, the Chazaka can't help you. That's what Ramey is teaching us. Right, but then it wasn't. But right now, the Erev is in front of you in a disqualified status. Ask the Gemara, Sav Rameya Sveik L'chumra, does Rameya hold that we're machmer, but not? We learned in the Mishnah. Tamei Shiyar Litbo. Somebody was Tamei, went to the mikvah. Safek Tavel, Safek Loi Tavel. There's a Safek if he was Tavel. So most Mepharshim explain that the Shaila is not if he went into the mikvah. He certainly went into the mikvah. The Shaila is, did he have a chatzitza, or did he have anything else that would disqualify him from being a kosher tefillah? But there's no shaila that he went into the mikvah. The tefillah tovel, even if we know he went into the mikvah without any chatzitza, sofek tovel babam saw, sofek loy tovel babam saw. There's a question if the mikvah was a kosher mikvah, did it have the right amount of water? So now Tosfos has two ways of learning this case that we just learned. One way Tosfos learns is that the two svaikas are in one story. First of all, the person had a suffix if he had a chatzitza, and he also had a suffix if the mikveh was kosher. Even though he had all those fakes, so you have a lot of reason to say it wasn't good, still Tosfos says that we're going to see Rameya holds that it's good. That's one way of learning. The other way Tosfos says is that if you have so many reasons to say that the tefillah wasn't good, we can't be makel. And then we're talking about two separate stories. One story is Suffolk Tuffel, Suffolk Loy Tuffel, and another Suffolk Tuffel Babam Saw, Suffolk Loy Tuffel Babam Saw. Another halacha. The Chen Shnei Mikvahs. You have two mikvahs in front of you. Bachas Yesh Babam Saw. One mikvah has the right amount of water, or Bachas Ein Babam Saw, and one doesn't. The Tuffel Bachas Men, and this person immersed in one of them, the Ein Yedei Bezman Tuffel. And he doesn't know in which one he was Tuffel. Says the Gemara, Sveika Tomei. In all these cases, we're going to be Machma. However, says the Mishnah, b'medvar amurim, when was this said? B'tumah chamura, when he's tumah midaraisa, abo b'tumah kala, but something that's a tumah kala, and the case that we're all going to mention are gemaras that we learned in Masechta Shabbos in the Yud Ches Tavar, kigoyim, sh'achol oichlin tumayim. If somebody ate foods that are tumah, that really midaraisa can't be mitameh a person. Or shar samashkin tameim, or somebody drank foods that are tamei, or vabar roish of ruba maim shuvim. The Chazal said that if you come mostly body in maim shuvim, then you're tamei. If you remember, we learned the Gemara, it's good Chazara, because what they used to do was, they used to wash themselves in Mayim Shuvim after they went to the mikvah, because the mikvah wasn't clean, and people got confused, and they said that the Mayim Shuvim is the Matar, not the mikvah is the Matar. Not that he actually went into it, it fell onto his head. The yard litva. So in all these cases, the tefillah is a tefillah midrabbanan. In all these cases, says the Mishnah there, sofak tavel, sofak loy tavel, vafila tavel, sofak tavel babam saw, sofak loy tavel babam saw. Or in the case of shnei mikvos, v'achas yesh babam saw, v'achas ein babam saw, v'tavel v'achas mehen, v'eni doy be'ezul tam tavel. All these cases fake katar. So we see that we're makel b'sofak. Rav Yosi mitama. Now we have a kasha. In our Mishnah, Rav Yosi is the makel, and here he's the machmer. We're going to get to that tomorrow. So we're back to where we started. How could we say the Rav Meir is machmer by the Sofik when the Erev got destroyed, when the Truma got Tamei? Here we see that we're Mekel. Answers the Gemara, Kesav Rav Meir Tchum and Deraisa. Rav Meir holds Tchum as a Deraisa. And just like in that Mishnah, when it was a Shail of a Deraisa, Rav Meir was machmer, here too will be machmer. Ask the Gemara, Kesav Rav Meir Tchum and Deraisa. Does Rav Meir really hold that Tchum is a Deraisa? But nan, im any yochel lavliy bezu, im any yochel lavliyoy. That means like this. The Mishnah discusses later in this parak how do you measure the 2,000 amos. So the Mishnah says that you bring a rope of 50 amos, and one person holds one end, and another person holds another end, and you keep on counting that way. But what happens if you have a mountain? It takes up a lot of space. What do you do? The Kadim Maharim, there's a few pshat. The Pasha pshat, we're not going to go into this Gemara today because we're going to learn it. You make an imaginary hole through the mountain. V'sal kedatach tchum deraisa. If we're going to say that they were dealing with deraisa mima kadrin, would that be a legitimate way of measuring? V'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Avuah, a mekadrin loy ba'ari miklat. When the halach is that when somebody killed somebody b'shogeg and he has to run to ari miklat, you measure which is the closest ari miklat, but you don't use these type of leniencies in measuring. Or Egla Rufa, that you want to measure which is the city closest to the corpse. You can't use any of these leniencies. So you see by the Raisa, you don't rely on any of these. So if you hold that Rameya holds that Erevin is the Raisa, so how could it be Mekel in the way you measure? And so the Gemara like Kasha. Had day, had the Rebbe. It makes a difference who said the Shir. He personally holds that Erevin is the Rabbonin. His Rebbe held that it's the Raisa. He only said it over in the name of the Stoy, but he himself did not agree with that. Why? Because he held the Erevin as the Raisa. Since he holds Erevin as the Raisa, that's why we're going to be Machmer. His Rebbe was the one that held Erevin as the Rabbanon, and that's why he permitted the leniencies and how to measure the 2,000 amos.